During 40 years of parish ministry, I found myself involved in a whole lot of conversations about God. Who is God? What is God like? What does God do? Conversations about God with people young and old, some firmly rooted in their beliefs, and others still trying to figure it all out. Conversations about God. Since time immemorial, from Moses asking God, "What is your name?" to the Sunday school child asking her teacher, "What does God look like?" People have been wondering, either out loud or to themselves, who is God? What is God like? Back in the 1960s, a British clergyman and scholar by the name of John Bertram Phillips, or J.B. Phillips for short, wrote an interesting little book called Your God is Too Small. There are three copies in the Luther Memorial Library, and you can check one of them out if you'd like. At any rate, Dr. Phillips set forth the often forgotten idea that in all of our effort to understand and explain who God is, we often end up with a God who is too small to be worthy of our true worship, and too small to be our refuge and strength in the time of trouble. And so we are left wondering, who is God and what is God like? In this morning's gospel reading from St. John, we meet up with a man by the name of Nicodemus, who went to Jesus in the dark and the quiet of night, and together they had a conversation about God. I like Nicodemus. He seems to me to be the kind of person who will follow his curiosities to the end. He asks questions and looks for answers, searching for the truth. As a member of the Sanhedrin, the high governing court of ancient Judaism, you would think that he would have a very strict and narrow idea about who God is and what God is like. But there were a lot of stories going around about Jesus. Stories about Jesus healing the sick and the cynical. Stories about Jesus showing love and compassion for the down and out, the least of these. Stories about Jesus telling interesting and eye-opening stories about what the kingdom of God is really like. And some people were saying, for sure, that Jesus was from God. There were so many stories about Jesus, and it prompted Nicodemus to ask questions and look for answers. And so, with his curiosity the driving force, Nicodemus went to Jesus in the dark and the quiet of night, part of him shrouded in what was already his idea of what God is like. And part of him stimulated with that curiosity where he wanted to find out about what it was that he was hearing. The conversation seemed to go in circles. Born from above? How can this be? God moving around us like the wind? How can this be? Certainly, Nicodemus' imagination was being stirred in such a way as to believe that God must be doing a new thing, that God's last word had yet to be spoken, and that there is more to God than he had once believed. Well, today is Trinity Sunday. And not only did we get to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," we have yet to make our annual trek through the Athanasian Creed. And we stand right next to our brother Nicodemus, asking how this can be. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Way, way back in the first few centuries of the church, some of the great thinkers of Christendom got together in an incense-filled room or wherever, and they shared what they had learned from their study of Scripture about who God is. And they shared what they saw in people's lives about what God is doing. And they shared from their own experiences what they felt God to be like. All of this to clarify the church's understanding about who God is and what God is like and what God does. And for starters, it was clear to them that God was there at the very beginning, creating this marvelous, fascinating universe and all living things, that God is high and lifted up, just as Isaiah saw him that day in the temple, and that God is so near and intimate that we can comfortably call God Abba, Father. And yes, they were convinced that Jesus is God, the Word made flesh to dwell among us, live among us. That one day, angrily, he overturned all the tables in the temple. And another day, he was bouncing children lovingly on his knee. That one day, he went to experience a death in the cruelest of ways. And a few days later, opened the door to a more abundant life. And they said that they had felt God within them, stirring them as were the people at Pentecost. They felt God encouraging them and leading them and comforting them. This, they said, is who God is, and this is what God is like. God is one, and yet so magnificent as to be made known in three wonderful, exciting, loving, life-giving persons. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Oh, we can sometimes tie ourselves in knots thinking about it. While we attempt to give speech to something that is beyond our speech, and while we stand there with our brother Nicodemus scratching our heads and asking, how can this be? But we must humbly confess that we would not want to be without the thrill of the Trinity for anything in the world. Because then gone would be the power and the majesty and the glory and the love and the compassion. And we would be left with a God who is cold and distant and impersonal. A God who is too small. Thinking of the Trinity helps us to understand, at least in part, how it is that God works in our lives and how it is that God ministers to us day after day, depending on what is happening in our lives. One day, God is a loving Father who holds us steady and keeps us strong as we go through some of those difficult and challenging times in our lives. Another day, God walks with us along the way as we go down the road to somewhere, anywhere, just to get away from the stress and the strain of life. And yet another day, God is more like a gentle wind. We don't know where it came from or where it's going, but it just blew away that terrible old habit that has been holding us back from a more abundant life. God, our refuge and strength, God, our shepherd and friend, God, the still small voice, God, the Blessed Trinity. We experience God in so many different ways, depending on what is happening in our lives, depending how open we are to what God is doing and how God is working within us and around us. The prize-winning British journalist Malcolm Muggeridge came to faith late in life after many years of agnosticism, skepticism, whatever. And then he witnessed God's presence and unconditional love for the world as he saw it being expressed around him. Near his life's end, he wrote this: "It sounds crazy, yet it happens. It has happened numerous times. Suddenly caught up in the wonder of God's love flooding the universe, made aware of the stupendous activity that animates all life, every color brighter, every shape more shapely, every meaning clearer, every note more musical, above all, every human face, all human companionship, recognizably a family affair, all radiated with the same glory in the eyes of the newly born." The astonishing truth behind the reality of God and all the ways in which God works in our lives is that God loves us and wills for us a life that is joyful and exuberant and abundant. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, that is, wander aimlessly through life with our eyes closed, may not perish, but have eternal life, that is, live fully and meaningfully every moment of the life we have been given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. How can this be? We ask along with our brother Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. But this we have come to believe is all we really need to know about who God is, what God is like, and what God does. Amen.